It would seem to me that if you are the demonic, one of the demonic hordes that has been running your own private little hell called Twitter, which some of it just went like, I ain't playing your game anymore, dude. Besides, it sucks 2 hours out of my day every day, and I get nothing in return. I wonder if they're turning off the algorithms. Because people think that the big crime is you're denying my access to free speech. You must let me go back on Twitter. You can't get any. You're censoring my account, which Alex Berenson is always wailing about like some wounded child. The algorithms that guide and direct the artificial intelligence, if you will, they guide and direct what is displayed to an average Twitter, to any Twitter user, are far more nefarious and diabolical than just banning someone. Making someone who is still there think that their feed, if you will, is being populated by the people that they follow, and that what they write and what they say is being shared with the people that follow them, to me, is far more of an egregious crime than just saying like, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, this is our platform and you can't use it anymore. Ha ha. And Pride Book has written a book on this. The Twitter algorithm is nothing compared to the one that Zuckerberg is employing over there on Pride Book. And Pride Book actually sells ads and then prevents people that would benefit from the ads from seeing them. It's good demonic work if you can find it. if you're a moderately productive demon and you're in need of employ, Facebook is the place to apply for work. Twitter's an also-ran. In any event, we'll talk about it. So many people are, of course, wondering, okay, so do you undo Trump's ban? How many followers did Trump have when they kicked him out? 83 million or something like that? Would he go right back to having the same 83 million? Now, a lot of people that were following Donald J. Trump probably canceled their Twitter accounts and just moved on. So there may not be 83 million there to re-link up to. I'm just curious. I never got banned. We try. Mitch O'Connell tries every day to get us kicked off of Twitter on the Crusade Channel Twitter feed and is unsuccessful. I got put in timeout one time. And by the by, Twitter began, I want to say, in 2007, somewhere up in there, 2007, 2008. I opened a Twitter account in 2009. I was using Twitter in some way, shape, or form before Twitter was cool, if you will. So we were way out ahead of the curve there. And when we first started using it, I don't remember being or thinking that we were shadow banned. There was no doubt, though, in the last couple of years, it's like, why even waste your time? When people send you private notes and go like, dude, I haven't seen a tweet from you in 6 months. Are you okay? Are you still alive? You haven't seen a tweet from me. I put 30 of them out yesterday. Well, I didn't see anything on my feed. That's how they manipulate what it is that people read. And by the by, that's the subject of a lot of what we're going to talk about here today on the program. If you take the word trans which is, for the most part, is a prefix. I shouldn't even say word. The prefix trans trans links, if you follow the use of the word trans and the modern diabolical digital world cesspool in which we are all marinating, I believe that it is possible to discover what the grand great reset scheme is that's being employed. And it's shown that its power is formidable. A mere 2-3 years ago, it would have been unthinkable to even imagine, to have an imaginary, quote, debate, close quote, over whether or not groomers have a place in modern education. But that is exactly the debate that's going on here today. And I think if you begin to to unpack this and to give it the Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass investigation to try and connect a couple of dots here, it'll become apparent why the groomers are now having their side of their diabolical, evil, demonic story being told, and that what you would ostensibly think are reasonable people are actually supposedly kind of having a dialogue about it. And this is the reason why. So it took me a day worth of reading. I got some new video to share with you. And noodling and thinking upon this to try and connect this dot. Disney, trans, groomers, Great Reset, Corona Doom, now Russia, 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 all linked. As a matter of fact, I forgot to print Frank Wright out. I'm going to do a Substack piece about this after the program, after the show today. Frank's got a new one out, Canceling Culture. Wow, what the guy just can see. Some of us can see. As a matter of fact, James Corbett. Let me start here. James Corbett of the Corbett Report yesterday publishes this, the greatest trick of all. And he's talking about how magicians don't actually do anything magical. It's all sleight of hand and using illusions and deceptions and misdirections and what have you here. But they practice this so that they can deceive the audience. But the point of their deception, though, was not evil. It's not framed as being evil. The point of their deception is to entertain the audience and to make them think that something magical happened, when in fact nothing happened, other than, hey, watch over here, watch over here, watch over here. Ah, Shazam, look what he did over there. But towards the end of the greatest trick of all, Corbett's piece yesterday, he gets into this explanation of what he thinks is what phase of this grand deception that we are now in, and what the bad guys, the bogeys, as I like to call them, what is it that they are employing? And he says this: for today's purposes, it suffices to understand this. The greatest trick of all is the ruling elitist ability to make you desire your own enslavement. Read that one aloud a couple of times and think about it. How many people do you know have with wide open arms and come here, you big lovable Corona Doom lockdown. Come here, buddy. Let me give you a big bear hug. Ah. You know, to take the forefinger and the middle finger and form it into the horns and do it into the skull. Ah, come here, you, my buddy here. How many people do you know embraced lockdowns? Threw their arms wide open and embraced face diapers with no evidence ever presented for their efficiency. How many people do you know that threw their arms wide open and embraced any part of what various governors did here in the United States in various states to fight COVID? They embraced their own enslavement. That's quite a trick for a ruling elite to have pulled off, don't you think? Why wasn't there a revolt? You know, we were asking this question from almost the very beginning, and I still don't have a complete answer, so I think that it does have a question mark at the end of it. Why did so many people go along with it? Because, TKD, it was for their own good. They realized the threat that COVID placed them under and that they could all get sick and die. I'm going to call BS on that. It's got to be something else there. So in other words, people embraced the suck, as Steve Cunningham says, embraced their own enslavement. Then their minds to elevate or to promote the common good, if I understand it correctly. Well, who told them that slavery was a common good? I'm serious about that. Think about this. How did you convince 2.5-3 billion people that volunteering to be enslaved somehow promotes human flourishing and it's something that promotes the common good? So something had to have happened before the enslavement was actually presented, right? There had to have been, or there were, and it wasn't just one event, there had to have been a series of things that were done that would, when the Thanos snap trigger was launched, that people would respond to it in the manner in which they did. I can still remember talking about this, and it disturbed me greatly. In late March of 2020, I think we played a couple of these videos here. Do you remember this, Mrs. O'Connell? Remember the family that got together and the dad got the acoustic guitar out and they had the mom sitting there and the kids were singing back up and they had made their little signs and they took Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, and turned it into a fun little family song that we're just, it wasn't wasting away, that we're just frittering away or we're lockdowning or shelter. Oh, I think we're sheltering in place. Sheltering in place again in COVID-19ville, whatever it was. But it was like, yay, it's a great time. We get to be together as a family. Everybody gets to hug and love. And this is so wonderful. Was it the Holderness family that did that? And immediately it had like 5.5 million, then 7 million, and then 10 million views. People going, like, yay, just what we need. A happy song for our lockdown. Yeah, I'm sure in Auschwitz, the Jews were running around singing happy canticles. In a church play, you can't compare the two. Why not? Why not? And this was not the common good, as St. Thomas Aquinas would describe it. It's not the common good that St. Augustine would describe and or would allude to in the City of God. Yeah, that's right. They also did. Yes, it's vaccination day. So billions of human beings embraced and are still embracing. Are still embracing their own enslavement. That clip that we play every Wednesday on Wisdom, to kick off Wisdom Wednesday, of Wallace Shawn. That's a thing. Ha ha, you fool! You just made one of the three greatest blunders. The first of which is never get into a land war in Asia. And the second of which is never get into a contest with a Thessalian when life is on the line. Remember that? Inconceivable.